Well, hello and welcome to another episode of The Unfinished Cubby. With me today is Chancellor Jackson. Chancellor, thank you very much for joining me.
Hey man, blessings and balance. I appreciate you for having me on the show for sure.
It's a pleasure to have you here. So, hey, where are you based? What time is it there and what's happening?
Well, so I'm in America, Atlanta, Georgia, specifically. Mm-hmm. If those that are not familiar with the geographics of America, I'm pretty much in the southeast.
Southeast. And it's cool. Yeah.
8 o'clock right now. Yeah.
8 p.m.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. 2000 hours if you go on the universal time, but
nice. my mother's from the States, actually. She's from Nebraska.
Oh wow, okay, for sure. Yeah. I ain't never been to Nebraska, but no, you know what I'm saying? I'm familiar. I know a few people from Nebraska.
It's not too far away, is it? I mean,
and by flight, no. Nah. Yeah, not by flight, it ain't that far. But driving, yeah, you're going to be in the car for a good little minute. you'll be in the car for a good little minute.
Cool. Hey, what's the COVID situation like there in Georgia? Locked down?
Oh, no. This shit has been relaxed, very, very relaxed since shit, like, really popped off. You know what I'm saying? Like when it first popped off, of course, you know what I'm saying, they mandating the mask and some things are closing down, but for the most part, Atlanta has not stopped.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Oh, nice.
We still going to the clubs and everything. Like, yeah, it ain't slowing down. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. yeah. Cool.
And now with the vaccination, so it's just like, folks, they got the vaccine now, so they say it's suggested that you wear a mask in public, but it ain't, you know what I'm saying? It ain't required.
Cool. Yeah. Okay. So, kind of, and it's, wait a minute. I lost you a little bit there. The internet went a little bit patchy.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. That's better now. Yeah. But yeah, it sounds like, which is true for me too. I live in this little town up in Mullaney, and we had a few little lockdowns and a few periods of wearing masks, but for the most part, it's been seemed like a very far away thing.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. That part. On me. Yeah. On me. Yeah. Knock on wood.
Yeah, cool. So, Chancellor, tell me a little bit about yourself.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Chancellor K. Jackson, born and raised in Atlanta, Georgia. Played football, American football, for 9 years. Played in high school and also played it at the collegiate level. For those that are familiar with football, I play defensive back, every position in the secondary unit. Strong safety, free safety, corner, nickel corner, you name it. You know what I'm saying? I played it all. So I'm a true DB, all in all. Played at Stetson University down in Florida, where I got my bachelor's degree in communication and media studies. After I graduated from Stetson, I ended up landing my first job teaching English to children in China.
Wow. So
that's how I ended up in China, and was out in China for 6 months total. I was supposed to do a year. That's how long my contract was. But contract got cut short 6 months because I ended up getting locked up out there and did 14 days in the Chinese penitentiary. And now I'm a bestseller author. You know what I'm saying? Well, football coach and, you know what I'm saying, community man, all in all.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. All right. Well, there's a couple of really interesting things I'd like to ask you more about. The getting locked up in China, what brought you there? What was the thing that made teaching English in China what you wanted to do?
Okay, for sure. Like I said, my degree was in communication and media studies, so it wasn't like I went to school to be in, you know, so I ain't majoring in education or nothing like that. So after my football career ended in November 2017, I started applying for jobs. And mainly I was applying for corporate positions, marketing, sales, management, you know what I'm saying? Fields geared around that. And I was, you know, I was landing interviews. I'm getting flown out. I'm interviewing with big, big companies. And I was doing this for 8 months straight. And every time I, you know what I'm saying, get into the interview, we do conduct the interview, I always get hit with the same BS answer. We want to move forward with other candidates. And it was mainly just because they kept saying I lacked the experience, but it's like, y'all knew that when I submitted the resume. So, I, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, yeah. Anyway, so I took a different approach in my job search. And I was like, okay, corporate may not be for me. So let me think about what am I good at? What do I do well? Okay, socially, you're great socially, working with people, talking with people, connecting with people, motivating and encouraging people. So I was like, all right, let me look into jobs geared around that. So I'm pretty much looking up social work jobs, and I'm on LinkedIn, and I see a filter in the search engine. It was like international. I've never seen the button before, so I'm like, why didn't I think to look outside the U.S.? See what I'm saying? What's going on in the world.
Yeah.
So, and that's when I came across, teach English in China. I'm like, oh, shit, that sound fire. That sound kind of dope. Like, all right, what's the job? So, gonna be teaching kids, you know what I'm saying? They going through all, you know what I'm saying? Just pretty much typical teacher stuff. So I'm like, okay, I could do that for sure. I could do that. What are requirements? What is it required to be able to, you know what I'm saying, actually get this role? Yeah. It was only three of them. It said, you have a bachelor's degree. It don't even matter what your degree is in. Mm-hmm. You can have a degree in anthropology. You know what I'm saying? As long as you got a degree, come on. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. Easy. You have a clean background. Oh, easy. What else? Native English speaker.
Cool. Yeah.
That's it. That's it. Oh, you ain't sitting out. How do I apply? All I got to do is submit a resume. Oh, man, that's it. Oh, bet. I applied. Continued doing my job search. Ended up landing an interview, doing an interview. Waiting on to hear back from them. But at this point, it's been such a reoccurring theme. I'm not really thinking too much of it. You know what I'm saying? Sure. Especially since on the other side of the world. I just took a shot in the dark. We're going, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And folks like, yeah, we want to move forward with you as a candidate. So I'm just like, damn, bro. After 8 months of applying and interviewing and getting told no, the first job to tell me yes is on the other side of the world.
That's amazing. That's fantastic. I like how life does that sometimes, just like takes you to places you never imagined you would go to. Cool.
So that's how I got the job, and it was a 3 month long process just to get a visa to go over there. So I ain't get into China till October 10th, 2018. That's when I entered China. And they put us up in a hotel for the first 2 weeks while we did our training and apartment hunted. So ended up finding an apartment on the east side of Beijing in Qingnanlu, the business district. So I was around the folks that had a little moolah, you know what I mean? And going through training for the job, of course. China was a vibe. Just being in China in general was a vibe the first 2 weeks, just because I'm like, hey, bro, we actually out here. None of us know each other, you know what I mean? It's a whole different culture, it's a whole different world, honestly. And none of us look like the Chinese people. None of us speak the Mandarin language, you know what I'm saying? So it was just like, everything's an adventure. Everything's going to be a challenge. Everything is going to be suspenseful, thrilling. You know what I'm saying? It was everything I could hope for a first job after landing, you know what I'm saying? After graduating, you know what I'm saying? And then I'm a Sagittarius too, so I'm very optimistic and spontaneous and outgoing and adventurous. So that it was just feeding my spirit. It was driving me. So
cool.
Got an apartment on the east side, and
you were there with a bunch of other teachers.
I came in with a recruiting class. You know, some other people that they recruited. And y'all gonna end up landing in Beijing around the same time. It's like 20 something of us. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Of course, we all we know out here. You know what I'm saying? We all we got. So we all came in together. So of course we like this here. We buddy.
Yeah.
For sure.
Were you all from the States or all over the world?
man, you got folks from, you got a lot of folks from America. You got folks from Europe. You got folks from, where else? Asia as well. It was a nice little melting cool. pot for sure.
Yeah,
for
yeah,
sure.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, what was your first impression of Beijing? What's it like?
I was just like, well, really, well, once we got off the plane and we got into the airport, I've never traveled internationally by flight. Well, I haven't done it in so long. Last time I did it, I was like in elementary school. So, of course, times have changed. So, going landing in China, the first thing we do, as soon as we get into the airport, like, these folks scan our entire handprint to their system. So I'm just like, damn, what type? I'm like, okay, I just knew. I'm like, okay, this
in
is.
In 2018, huh? Ahead of, yeah.
I'm like, this is a strict country. I can tell already for sure. They scanning, they getting our whole handprint before we even leave the airport. Like, okay, yeah, you know what I'm saying? I see what type of time they on. But yeah. All in all, China was like, it's the people of China are very, very nice. They're very considerate. And like, I received some of the best customer service I've ever experienced in my life over there. Like, you going to go shop with these people to go to their restaurant, or you know what I'm saying? You buying product, like, you're going to get the best service. Cool. I'm talking about you folks bending over backwards. It's to the point where you got to like ask them to like, okay, you don't have to go so hard. Like, trust me, the gestures and, you know what I'm saying, it's appreciated, but bro, you ain't gotta go that hard, bro. I appreciate it though. It's love. It's all love, family, yeah. For sure. Yeah. But awesome. Some of the best customer service. And just definitely just learning the area and just what was gonna be my everyday life. You know what I'm saying? Just knowing how, seeing how I was gonna be able to, what was gonna be my typical day to day, and you know what I'm saying, just adjusting and getting settled, and then meeting all the other foreigners that were out there as well. Like, it isn't a large population of us for sure, but you know what I'm saying, we out there, so it's just cool just meeting all the other people. This is like, what are the odds that, you know what I'm saying, we meet each other for the first time here in China? How many do you know what I'm saying? So it's
for sure, for sure. Are you still close with a lot of the other teachers that came over with you?
Oh yeah. Definitely. I definitely formed my great bonds with a select few of them, those in which I still talk to, communicate with to this day, for sure.
Hey, Chancellor, my parents are both teachers, and I told you my mum's from the States.
Yeah,
she came to Australia in the 70s, and at the time in Australia there was a real shortage of teachers, so they were flying them over from the US and I think from Ireland as well.
Okay.
And yeah, so she came over with a bunch of other teachers from around the US, and yeah, super super close in a strange country. And so I grew up then with a lot of their kids as well, and we had like sort of Thanksgiving and Halloween traditions as well growing up in Australia, which are not part of that.
What, they don't celebrate Halloween out there?
Well, you know what? We kind of do now. Yeah. So,
okay.
So with my kids on our street, that they do all the time, but not.
It's not the whole.
Not 30 years ago, it wasn't a thing. Yeah.
For sure.
Thing. Yeah.
Well, without a doubt, I'm like, we celebrate Halloween in China, so I'm like, we celebrate it over there. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
What? Oh man. But yeah, that's how I ended up out there, and that was, you know what I'm saying, just getting adjusted and getting settled for the. It took me about 2 months to get like fully settled in, especially once we, you know what I'm saying, our money started to roll in and all of that. Oh yeah, it was smooth selling after that. Lit for real.
Lit. Awesome. And then so I got to ask you, you ended up in jail over there.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? Yeah, what was the
so pretty much that's the very first chapter of 14 Days in Beijing. So I'm gonna walk y'all through it. Because I have a free version available on Amazon of my book, and it's pretty much the first 3 chapters of the book.
Cool.
So just go ahead and get your feet wet, and so I'm gonna pretty much walk y'all through the first 3 chapters. It won't be as in much detail as the actual book, but it still be just as suspenseful as just me sitting here telling the story the way I'm gonna tell it. But
thank you.
So it's April 4th, 2019, and I'm finna get ready to I have an event to go to in the afternoon, like noonish, 1 o'clock, and the event is you know, they got the Chinese fans, right? So we get to customize and design our own. And Nipsey Hussle had just died at the time. If y'all know who Nipsey Hussle is, he's a rapper from South Central California.
Right. Yeah.
Very notorious, very well respected, and a huge influence on my life. So I was going to designate my fan to him. So I go through my typical morning routines, you know what I'm saying? Go to the gym, come back, stop by the market, grab some lunch to eat at the house, and you know what I'm saying? Get home, shower, get dressed, and now eat my food, and you know what I'm saying? Prayed and stuff and everything. So it's getting close to time. So it's getting closer to the time for me to head out. So I'm like, okay, before I go to, and this is going to be a fun event. Like, this ain't like it's nothing work related, extreme. Like, this is, it's just for fun. So I'm finna pregame before I go. And for y'all that don't know what pregaming is, it's like when you and your friends or somebody finna go to the club or go out somewhere. And before y'all go out, it's like, hey, let's have a little turn up at the house real quick. You know what I'm saying? That's what a pregame
is. Yep. Totally used to do
that. So I'm pregaming at the house. I'm sipping my little wine cooler and chiefing some cannabis at my little silver pipe. And get done, finna finalize and everything. Make sure I get everything, phone, wallet, keys, boom, 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 boom. All right. Got my mask. All right, bet. I'm about ready to slide. All right, so I'm getting ready to leave, and I hear a knock at the door. Guests aren't unfamiliar, of course. You know what I'm saying? I ain't expecting nobody, so I'm curious to see who it is. Looking through the peephole, there's three officers from the Beijing police on the other side of the door. I'm just like, oh, shit. Oh, fuck. All right, so I scrambled to put up everything and put up, you know what I'm saying, put everything up, and then I open the door, and they walk in, and it's three of them. They stand in like a triangle like this. So the one in front, he's doing the talking. I greet him. Hello. You know what I'm saying?
Nihao. What did you think when they were first there? Did you?
Which is because they do random. They done popped up on us before. They do that to all the foreigners. And it's mainly just to check your documents and just to prove that you say you are who you say you are. You're not over there legally. Okay. So they did it earlier that year. And they did it to my coworkers and everything.
You weren't worried at first?
Not at all. Yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah, I'm like, okay, damn, they must do this check random. Like, they must do it more than once. So
I
boom, put everything up. So I open the door, they walk in. Officer in front, he's talking. He's speaking in Mandarin. So of course there's a language barrier, and it's written on my face, like, bro, I don't know what you're talking about. So he pulls his phone out and he speaks into the translator app and he shows me the phone. And the translation read, "Are you on drugs?" Instinctively, I know it's time to lie. What? Hell no. Nah. What you talking about, bro? You're tripping. No. Nah. Passport? That's probably what you need. You need to go see my passport and everything, huh, bro? Yeah, that's what you need, bro. So he's speaking to the app again. He shows me the translation. It says, "Are there any drugs in the house?" Bro, where are you getting this information from? No. I'm going to go run and get a passport. I'll be right back. So I go grab my passport, my visa, apartment contract, everything. I grab everything I need. Walk back in the living room, slap it on the table. Like, here you go, bro. I don't know what you talking about, but this is what you here for. You know what I'm saying? I don't give a fuck. This is what you here for. So he's sitting there going over my documents. And the other two officers, they're just walking around my apartment. They have wandering eyes. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? They just wandering eyes. They ain't really snooping through nothing, but they definitely looking around for sure. So time passes, and officer tells me to sit down at the table. So, all right, I sit down. And a few minutes into me sitting down, I hear footsteps, because the front door is still open. They never close the door. So I hear footsteps coming from down the hall. So I lean back and look, and there's another officer approaching the apartment. He got something in his hand. I don't think nothing of it, but you know what I'm saying? Because I'm just like, okay. I'm just trying to, you know what I'm saying? I'm still high, one, and you know what I'm saying? I'm panicking, I'm nervous, so I'm trying to just...
Right, you're starting to get pretty worried now.
I'm trying to maintain my cool, most importantly. I'm thinking ahead. I'm like, okay, what could be the possible, you know what I'm saying, what could happen next? And like, I'm just trying to think ahead and try to be on my P's and Q's. So the other officer enters the apartment, and he hands the officer that I was originally speaking to the thing in his hand. And the officer pretty much tells me through body gestures, like, hey, pee in the cup. So it was drug test right there on the spot.
Yeah, right.
As soon as he said that, I was like, oh, man, it's over with. Yeah. It's over with. I just got there smoking prodigy. I'm knocking my door, bro. It's over with. So, end up getting the drug test done. I failed it, of course. And now the officers are really, you know what I'm saying? They really searching the apartment now. They really looking for, you know what I'm saying? They all through the shit. So,
they do that right there on, like, you go into the bathroom, give them back a cup. They test it right there on the spot. That's
Which literally, as soon as like you pee into the cup, like that motherfucker tests for you. Like it's automatic, and that shit comes back in like 5 seconds. Like it's no time at all. As soon as I piss into it, I give it to them, and they looking at it, they set it on tape, and they looking at it. Everybody body gestures, you know what I'm saying? Energy, like, they energy started to shift. I'm like, oh, shit. But I'm still trying to play cool, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, hey, like, I'm playing a fool. Like, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
So by all this, by the time all this had happened, it's like 5-6 officers in the apartment now. And one of them speaks English. It's fluent. So that's the one that's talking to me. And he's pretty much interrogating me about when was the last time I smoked, who I get it from, who was I with, all this, that, and the other. And I'm still high. And I'm nervous as hell, so I'm just coming up with this shit to tell him. Every time he asks me a question, I know my story is switching up, you know what I'm saying? And I'm catching myself, so I know he's catching me. So I'm just like, man, this is all bad. All right. But it's like how the interrogation went, like he'll ask me a question, I'll answer it, and then he'll go back to, are there any drugs in the house? Bruh, no. All right, he'll ask me another question, I'll answer it. Are you sure ain't no drugs in the house? Bruh, no. So it was like he just kept asking there was drugs in the house. I'm going to continue to play the fool until, you know what I'm saying, I can't play it no more. I'm from Atlanta. That's how we do. That's how we're going to finesse. But he ended up like, are you sure there are any drugs in the house? In like a bag or a container or something? And when he said those specific two things, I knew it was over with, because that's exactly where I put my – that's exactly where I hid the rest of my little flower that I did have. So I'm like, ah. All right, you know what I'm saying? At that point, it's like, I'm caught red-handed. For sure, all right, yeah, y'all got me. I got to hold myself accountable at this point. It's,
nice.
It's just been over with for a while. Yeah. I was just trying to see if I could finesse. No, it's over with, so.
Yeah.
He's like, all right, show me. So I walked to my room. That's where I had it. That's where I hid it. As soon as I get into my room, I see everything right there on the bed. So I'm like, y'all folks, been new. Y'all just sitting there fucking with me, trying to see if I was going to give y'all any information. Once y'all realized I wasn't, okay, let's just take this. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to lock this thing up.
Yeah.
So they confiscate everything, but they were still cool though. It's like, right, you need to finish getting dressed. You need to grab anything before we go. I'm like, well, unfortunately, I was finna walk out the door prior to y'all showing up, so I'm ready to go. So tell me, turn around, throw the handcuffs on me, and walk downstairs, and they escort me to the police van. They sit me down in the van, and there's two officers in the van with me. All the rest of the officers, they walking through the apartment, I guess, to go through the front gate, you know what I'm saying, as a group and shit. So that's where all communication ends right there. That's where all the communication ends. At this point, now I'm in the van with these other two officers, and everybody else gone, and the officer that I could only speak to was with that group. All the communication ends right there.
Yeah.
So now I'm just sitting there reflecting. I'm like, oh, damn. All right, this shit is for real. I done got, you know what I'm saying? I got busted, red-handed. I'm in these people's custody. I don't know what's going to happen.
What are the drug laws like there? How harsh are they? You don't have any idea at that stage?
I had no clue, and I still ain't even looking to it after I got back home. Because like, shit, I definitely got to experience it. So it's like, I got a first hand. So I'm like, but I don't know how this going to play out. I don't know what's going to, what's to come. But hey, I gotta hold myself accountable. I knew I was doing something I probably shouldn't. I shouldn't have been doing. And there's other repercussions from it. So it was just like, shit, you gotta take it to the chin, Chance, and enjoy this high one last time, and take note of every minor detail, because this is gonna be a great story to tell once you out of this predicament.
Yeah,
bro.
Nice one. Well, that's a good attitude to have in that situation.
I'm a very positive person. Yeah. I always look at it. Like I said, I'm a sad, so we optimistic. You know, so we always look at the bright side. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's always a bright side to any situation, and we always gonna find something to laugh at. So the story is very humorous as well, just because of my personality. So we get to the first precinct, and it wasn't that far of a ride. It wasn't that long of a ride. It was damn near not even 5 minutes. Get in the precinct, and they sit me down in the chairs, and it's the typical, you know what I'm saying, precinct that you see in TV shows and movies, like when they bring the new arrests in, sit them down in the chairs with the other recent arrests. You got the officers on desk duty. It was that typical scene.
Like a
but
big
Chinese
open office thing.
but yes, but Chinese version is the typical thing. Cool. So I'm just sitting there handcuffed, just steady reflecting and replaying everything that happened in my head, just asking myself questions like, you know what I'm saying? What's going to come? What am I supposed to take away from this situation? Why am I the only one handcuffed? What are these people thinking? You know what I'm saying? So I'm just sitting, but I'm just still sitting there just thinking and reflecting. And then next thing I know, they come get me after like 40 minutes. So we get back into the van. Folks still have not said nothing to me. I don't know where we're going now, but I'm finna see. So get to a second precinct. This one's a lot bigger. Had me change clothes, and they put me in a holding cell. I'm in a holding cell with probably like 10 other Chinese men. They call me from the holding cell, take me to the basement of the jail, to this room to conduct my interrogation. So the room consists of this metal chair that looks like an electric chair, like how electric chair has leather straps, but this motherfucker all metal. Like it's all metal. Across from the electric chair, like dead ass in front of it, is a table and two regular chairs for the officers to sit at to conduct the interrogation. Mm-hmm. And then there's a camera mounted high on a tripod capturing all the furniture.
Yeah.
So pretty much just the film.
It was like going in on. The movies too. Yeah.
Yeah. So they walk me to the chair and they open it. And like, you know what I'm saying? They open it and they just waiting on me. I'm looking at them crazy like, well, y'all really want me to sit my ass down in this chair? And they looking at me like, hell yeah. So guess what I did? I sat my ass down. So it locks your ankles, your thighs, your waist, your chest, and your arms all in the one place, God. Like this here.
Yeah, right.
So I'm sitting here doing my whole interrogation just like this. Yeah, I can move my head, but that's about it. You know what I'm saying? Everything is locked in place. Jeez. So the officer comes in, and you know what I'm saying? He's interrogating me. Just the same questions the first officer was asking. You know what I'm saying? They just want to know where I get it from, who, all of that. So, but by this time, I had plenty of time to come up with a story to finesse their ass with. So I tell them my little finesse, and they had me they transcribed the interrogation. So they typed it up and had me, you know what I'm saying? They brought it over for me to read. This shit is all in Mandarin, so I don't know what the fuck this shit talking about. So it was like, sign it, and I signed it, thumbprinted it, and they released me from the chair. I bet. So they released me from the chair, take me back upstairs, get my mug shot, get my handprint again. Y'all already got my handprint the first time when I entered, so now y'all got it for a second time. So and then they throw me back into the holding cell. I'm still handcuffed too while I'm in the holding cell. So I'm just sitting there just replaying and recapping everything. I'm like, okay, damn, did they buy the statement? Did they, you know what I'm saying? I hope they did. And I'm like, damn, I could. Now I'm just replaying the scenario. I'm like, damn, I could have put the cannabis here. I could have put the I could've put it there. I could have. I'm like, I'm thinking of just so many different alternatives I could have did. But I'm like, I still would have had to deal with failing the drug test. Regardless if they found the rest of the weed I had or not.
Yeah.
Just the fact alone that I failed the drug test, I was gonna go to jail anyway. So I was pretty much asked out regardless. So it really may make no difference. And I'm thinking about, okay, I thought about another story I could have gave him during interrogation. I'm, you know what I'm saying? I'm just coming up with just different things I could have done better.
Sure.
But all in all, I was like, hey, bro, just got accountability. I just got to hold accountable, man. So
hey, Chance, so I'm gonna say, I really admire that as well. Like it's just such an important quality that go not playing a victim, going, you know what, I did this. Like I think that makes a big difference generally for people in life, like stepping up, taking responsibility, like I did this is where I am, like, and it's so empowering too, you know, when people are a victim and they blame, this happened to me. Yeah. Then you're at the mercy of life all the time instead of
on me.
Yeah.
And that's what I feel like. I'm like, that's, you said I can point the finger and why me? I can do all that. But I'm like, what good is that going to do? What good? I'm sitting here complaining about the problem, but they ain't coming up with no solutions. Okay. Hold myself accountable. First and foremost, that's the first step. I'm aware of it. I'm conscious of it. All right. So now with that understanding, that acceptance, now we can move forward, you know what I'm saying, in a more positive manner. Tidy, just cause, tidy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And football taught me that. Except the reality of the situation, and now what am I going to do with it?
Man, football taught me that. to the best. Yeah, so it's right. Just like, you got to hold yourself accountable. You know what I mean? Yeah, so cool. Me just following orders without asking no questions. Football told me that as well. They like, damn, why you ask nothing? Why you ain't saying nothing? Bro, when coach tell us to get on the line, we got to run these sprints. You're going to sit here, damn, coach, why we got to run, bro? Man, bro, you tripping. Yeah, nah. You going to line. If coach say how, jump, you still going to say how high.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
cool. Yeah.
Football just, you know what I'm saying, help with this whole process. So
yeah, okay, cool.
Sitting in the holding cell, hours is passing. I'm coming down from the high now. I was still high. You know what I'm saying? Like everything else is going on, but not a high coming down.
Yeah.
So I'm getting sleepy and shit now. So I'm, you know what I'm saying? I'm sitting down handcuffed, trying to find a comfortable position.
And is this like a cell, like where you've got like just like it's an empty metal cement room and you got just like a little bench and
So pretty much well, it's a big square, it's cement. We have like it's cement benches going across the whole cell, like just enough for folks to sit down around the whole jail.
There's a few of them.
Right. It's a window in the back of the cell, and all the doors and like the glass and shit like that. So we can see the officers walking out. They can see us. So we can't even see them. They can see us. Like it was only see through. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I'm sitting there handcuffed. You know what I'm saying? Fading out of consciousness. Trying to lie down, handcuffed, but that's just still not working. But you know what I'm saying? I'm faded, so it's like I'm able to get some type of sleep. You know what I'm saying? And I wake up periodically. Every time I look at the window in the cell, sun just faded more and more and more till it's just complete darkness. And then next thing I know it's hours been passed by now, and they come back to the holding cell to get me. All right, walk out. We get back to the lobby. They bring my basket of clothes and tell me to get dressed. I'm like, oh shit. I'm like, it worked. Everything I did, I'm like, it worked. The statement worked, everything. I'm like, damn, it worked. They finna let me go back. I'm putting my clothes back on. So I'm just sitting there posted up, just waiting. And then they had me follow them through a door that's behind the front desk in the lobby. So into the door, now I'm in the hallway. And at the end of the hallway, I see a room. It's crowded with hella officers in there. So we walking towards the room, get in the room. This is the evidence room. They got evidence from other cases and other arrests and shit. And I see four screens on the table, like four TV screens there, where they watch footage from the officer's body camera. So, and next to the TV screens, I see my shea butter container. I put my flour and the shea butter. Shea butter is something you moisturize your skin with. So I put it in there.
Yeah.
So I see my shea butter container. I see the flour. From my apartment, and I see a DVD with the rest of the evidence, like all in one section. So I'm like, okay, they definitely made a physical copy of, you know what I'm saying, my arrest from the body cameras of the officers. I'm like, damn, I would love to watch that. That shit seemed like it would be dope to watch. But I'm like, so all right, they go with my evidence. They go everything from the apartment right there. So they take the flour and they weigh it up right in front of me, and it totaled up to 1.4 grams.
Okay.
Now for those that... 1.4 grams is not a lot. It's nowhere near a lot. It is not a lot at all. It's very minute, to be honest. But that's all I had was 1.4 grams. They type everything up, have me sign another document and thumbprint it. All right. Collect everything. Now we're going back into the lobby, and then we get back into the police van. Nobody has still said anything to me in regards to like what's finna happen, what's going on, and I'm not asking any questions. I'm just hoping that they finna let me go.
Yeah.
So we in the van. We get in the van. Boom. All right. That's the end of chapter one. That's all chapter one right there.
Awesome.
Yeah. That's all chapter one.
Wow. So,
yeah, that's all chapter one right there.
And I think chapter two is not, and then they took me back to my apartment and I was free.
Exactly. No. So we in the van, so he cranked the car up, and I look at the radio come on, so I look at the time. It's like 1:30 in the morning. So I'm like, bro, I've been in these folks cussing me for like 14 hours.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I got arrested early this morning, like 11, like, you know what I'm saying? So I'm like, I've been in custody all this time. And so we driving and we on the interstate, and I've been out in China long enough to learn the area pretty well. So I'm just looking at the signs we passing. And I'm just like, bro, I don't feel like we're getting any close any closer to where I stay.
Yeah.
And about 40 minutes to the ride, we arrive at this facility with tall walls and barbed wire. I was like, okay, I see what's going on now.
Wow. So, how did you feel in that moment?
I said, fuck, it's jail. I'm like, oh yeah, I am. I'm like, I know I'm finna sit down for sure. I'm finna sit down for a little minute. I don't know how long I'm finna be here, but I know I'm finna sit down. That's all I knew. So we enter the jail, go to the nurse's office. They running all the typical tests, blood pressure and all this, you know what I'm saying, all that shit. All right, so now we go into the changing room. They give me my jumpsuit. The jumpsuit is pretty much this jacket. It's a jacket, and the best way I can describe the quality and the texture of the jacket, how it feels and wears, y'all familiar with Dickies, the brand Dickies, the clothing brand Dickies?
No, I'm not. Yeah.
Well, for those that are, it's like a Dickies jacket. You know what I'm saying? The top half of it, on front and back, the top half is yellow, bottom half blue. On across your left chest plate, it says in red Chinese characters, Beijing Jail number 6. It says the same thing on the back. Is the jacket's pretty clean, like you know what I'm saying? You probably want to wear it like to the club or something for real. Like in America, like you know, it's kind of drippy. You know, cap. It's kind of hard. But gave me the jacket. Gave me some blue sweatpants and some blue sandals. And they gave me one Tupperware bowl and one plastic spoon. So I put all the rest of my stuff into this luggage bag. They had me put my luggage bag in the storage unit. So they store the rest of the inmates' stuff. And I followed the CO upstairs to the upper level of the jail, and we get to cell 209. And he opens the door, and immediately the first thing I see is two inmates standing up taking watch, watching the other inmates sleep. So let me paint this picture for you. So he opens the door. The cell is a big rectangle. Immediately you walk in, you probably got like 3-4 steps until you start getting to the bunks in which we sleep on. These are pretty much wooden planks. It's 9 of them going against the right side of the cell in a row. So they're wooden planks with cubbies up underneath them so you can store your stuff. Immediately to the left is the bathroom. The walls are, it's its own separate room, but the walls are made of glass. So you can see straight into it. It's a sink. The toilet is a squat toilet. So a toilet you gotta, you know what I'm saying, squat over to use. And the shower is pretty much a water hose with a shower head tied to it. So, and then, you know what I'm saying, black mold all on the wall and snacks and shit flying in the bathroom. So it definitely don't look anywhere pleasing that you would want to do anything. So then they're not even wash your hands. But So the beds are on the right in the row, 9 of them, wooden beds. Two inmates standing against the wall. So like I say, it's probably like, man, maybe arm's length, like full wingspan and a half, somebody's wingspan and a half from of the space between the wall and where the beds are. So it's a nice little
of the room is just that.
Well, no. Like, so like say where the two inmates are standing against the wall, posted up. If I place my wingspan out, I put this hand on it on his chest and stuck this hand out, I could touch the bed. Like that's as much space as it is for us to walk, you know what I'm saying? And these bunks, like these beds is pretty long. Like they about like 6 feet, 6-7 feet, you know what I'm saying? So they take up most of the cells and it's pretty much just walkways for us to, and like I said, it's a rectangle. So the rectangle is the beds on this side of it, so it's pretty much like an L. That's the only walkways we have. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's a big window in the back of the cell. It's high, so you can pretty much, even standing on the bunks, you can only like look over it. It's gated up and stuff, but we can open it to allow air to enter the cell. If I'm standing in the doorway, above the door is the TV mounted on the wall. And in the corner, high up in the corner is the camera capturing the whole room. So he opens the door. I see the two inmates standing, watching the other folks sleep. I look at the people that are asleep. Mind you, I said it's 9 wooden beds. I do a head count of how many people I see. It's 15 of us total. So you can imagine. So literally, I'm like, it looks like a slumber party or like a, you know what I'm saying, a sleepover from back in the day with you and your friends. You know what I'm saying? Y'all gotta, you know, it looks like that, but these are random grown men.
Yeah.
So instantly, my psyche is thrown. I'm like, oh, shit, like, damn. This shit is real, boy. Like, damn, yeah. I'm really in here.
Yeah.
So I approached the slumber party, trying to find a spot to lay down. And one of the inmates that was standing up taking a watch, he, you know what I'm saying, wakes up two inmates and they make room for me. So they had me put my bowl and spoon up underneath the cubby. And I lie down and I'm just laying on my back, looking up at the ceiling, at the bright ass light that's on. And I'm just blown away, honestly. I'm like, bro, I would never guess no shit like this would ever happen to me in my entire life. Like, this is some shit you cannot make up. Like, this shit is for real, bro. Like, I'm in here. Nobody knows where I'm at. I haven't been able to contact nobody. Sure. I don't know what's going to happen. But I'm like, I got to hold myself accountable at the end of the day. But I'm like, I know I'm going to be good. Because I prayed this morning. So I'm like, I know I'm going to be good. Goddamn, just, man, try to get you some rest. And, you know what I'm saying? We're going to take it step by step.
Yeah.
So it was like four something. So I ain't even get to sleep that long because we got to get up. Every day we get up, it's at 6:30 every day. So I was only asleep for like an hour and some change. If I had to get back up. And they bring so now everybody up. I got all, you know what I'm saying? I'm the only English speaker. I'm the only foreigner in the cell. So I'm in this bitch with 14 other Chinese men.
All Chinese, yeah, right.
So,
yeah.
Of course, now that everybody up, they see me. They like, oh, they probably ain't never seen nothing like this before in their life. You know what I'm saying? So they, you know what I'm saying? They trying to talk to me, and it's a language barrier. And I was like, y'all seem interesting. I would definitely love to know y'all's story, but I can't communicate with y'all. So it's like, ain't shit they do, bro. But y'all seem cool, though. And then I'm still all in my head and just.
They were friendly though. They were.
They just like, yeah, because it's like they probably ain't never seen or got to be like physically up close to a person of color, and I had locks at that point in time too, so they ain't never seen nothing like that. So just be, we can have one in our possession, like just, oh yeah, I want to know everything I can. I want to take full advantage of this opportunity because ain't no telling when I'll be able to, you know what I'm saying, get it again.
Yeah,
it's like, but it's like that language barrier was a motherfucker, and so it was like, so and we this still chapter two we in. This is still chapter two that we're in.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
They trying to talk to me. I can't really talk to them. They bring the breakfast by the cell, and the breakfast is every day was the same for the most part. It's porridge and bread rolls, and it's I don't know what it was at first, but it looked like uncooked hash browns. So I'm like, So they bring breakfast by the cell. So I'm posted up. I'm just watching all the inmates get their food first, just to see how this process works. Mm-hmm. Why I just, you know what I'm saying? I'm just watching, sure. Analyzing, being my hands. So I see what everybody do. So I'm one of the last ones to get my food. So I look at the porridge. That shit looks watery as fuck. It's yellow. I'm like, I'm straight on that. I grab me a roll and I point to the hash brown looking things. I ask like, what is this? It's always vegetables. Two side. So I'm like, oh shit, man, let me get some of that. So I'm just posted up, eat my roll, and all the inmates, they smash, and they going crazy. They eating, they going crazy. And it's one inmate, he's sitting down, he passed the empty space next to him. Like, he looks at like, pastor, so he tell me, she pretty much tell me to sit down. So I sit down next to cuz, and he showed me, like with his, you know, he made a breakfast sandwich with his, you know what I'm saying? He opened his roll up and put the vegetables and made it, you know, so he showed me that. I'm like, oh, my boy, I own this something. Okay, bet. I see what's going on. So I did it.
Cool.
I tried the vegetable first. It was hella saucy, but it was straight. It wasn't bad. So I'm like, I bet. I see what's going on. My boy, he own this something.
Yeah.
So I'm busting my little sandwich down, and we clean up, and they come and grab me from the cell. I don't know where we're going. I'm in the hallway with other foreigners. So we walk down the corridor and end up in pretty much this lobby of the second floor. And pretty much this is the part where you meet with the warden of the jail, and he goes over with you your charges, what's your sentence, how long you gonna be there, all of that. So when it's my turn, they call my name, I go inside, I sit down. He's not saying anything to me, and I'm not saying anything to him. He hands me my contract, and I'm looking over it. All this shit is in Mandarin. I don't know what she's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But the only thing that they said again, sign and fingerprint. That's the only thing. That's the only communication I got. Sign and fingerprint. So I sign, fingerprint. I get up, and now you know what I'm saying, they walk us back to our cell. So I'm like, what the fuck just happened? I don't even know. Like, ain't nobody said nothing to me. I don't learn until later on to the story what that was. You know what I'm saying? So, And so I'm back in the cell. I'm just replaying everything, just reflecting. I'm all in my head, all in my head. Inmate steady trying to talk to me. It's a language barrier, motherfucker. We can't talk. And I was in this cell for 2 days. So the third day, all of this, you know what I'm saying? Vast majority of that cell gets released. So I'm like, it's just leaving three of us in the cell, me and two other Chinese cellmates. One was like in his 40s. You could tell he was older. He had gray hair. And the other one was a young cat. He was definitely under 21. So I'm like, what the hell are they going to do with the three of us in this big ass cell? I know they're not just from leaving this whole motherfucker by itself. And as I'm thinking this, they come and grab us. I'm like, okay, we finna get ready to go home. That's what, you know what I'm saying? So we walking. He stopped at cell 207 and started unlocking. I'm like, fuck. I'm like, damn, I thought we were finna get ready to go. So he opens the door. This cell is set up the same exact way as the previous one, but this cell had way more supplies than my previous one. Like the previous one, all I had was one bowl and one spoon. And that's pretty much all everybody else had, for real. Like, it was barely any toilet paper in that motherfucker. So you can imagine, yeah, I had to hold my, you know what I'm saying? I had to hold my bowel movements and everything. But get to this new cell, this same exact setup, but this cell has way more supplies. They got this, they got snacks, they got toilet paper, stools for these folks to sit on. It's RL on the wall. I'm like, okay. This cell a different vibe for sure. But I'm like, I don't feel like getting used to the new cellmates. I don't feel like having to deal with all that shit again. So my head is down when I walk to the cell, and I lift it up, and the first person I make eye contact with is this big-ass dude. I'm thinking he's European just because he has pale skin. He looks like, I'm assuming he's European dude, like 6'3", 6'4", right. 250 pounds, like big-ass dude. And mind you, we're not allowed to lie down unless it's nap time or time to go to bed. So you can either sit down or stand up. This only person still lying down, hands behind his back, cool, and just watching TV. He cozy. I'm like, and I'm looking at him. He got scabs all on his face, like he just got to fighting and shit. So he looked at me. I look at him, and I just dropped my head. I just dropped my head. I said, boy, what the fuck? These folks got me. Man, where they got me at, man? So I was just walking through the cell with my head down. And all I hear is, hey, man. And I look up. I'm just in the shock. What did I just hear? English? What the fuck? It's a Chinese American. Like, wait, like, he waving, like, hey, man, like, what's going on? I'm like, oh, no, it's a whole different person.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the other dude, he's still laying down. After we made eye contact, I ain't even bother looking at him no more. I'm just walking at him. I just hear, hey, man, from another dude. He's a Chinese American named Lenny. That's his name in the book. He's from California. Yeah. So I'm sitting there talking to him. I'm just so happy to finally communicate with somebody.
Sure,
yeah. So I'm sitting there talking to him. Woo-woo-woo. He's cool as hell. Most people are from California are. So that's me and him talking. The dude that's sitting next to me sticks his hands out and says, hey, my name is Victor. I'm like, what the fuck? Oh, shit. It's more than one of y'all, is it? Hey, we got some English speakers in here. He's Brazilian from Brazil.
Yeah, okay.
So Lenny, the Chinese-American, of course, he's fluent in both Chinese and Mandarin. I mean, Mandarin and English.
Yeah, fluent in both. Yeah, yeah.
Victor, he speaks English, Portuguese, and he can speak Mandarin very well. Like, he can hold a conversation. Like, you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah, cool.
Man, this is the shift within the whole story. Like, that it just, all the questions that the reader has, and especially the ones that I come up with up until this point, just because we don't have no clue what the hell is going on, this is when we start to finally get answers. Right. Now, do I still know when I'm going to get out? Hell the fuck no. Yeah. But I'm learning how this process works, how the jail, what the rules of the jails are, why the system is the way that it is, what's our day. You know what I'm saying? I'm learning. And now I'm like, what they should have told me when they first brought me in, now I'm learning just through my peers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And not only can I connect those dots as far as how this whole process works, but I can communicate with the other native Chinese people because I have two people that speak the language. Yeah. So the two people that are two Chinese dudes I came over with, I've been with for 3 days. Oh, man, once they realized we had a translator, they were really them the one they were the ones that, you know what I'm saying, pretty much introduced me to the English speakers. Cause like when I looked up, after here, hey man, Lenny was sitting with the two people I came over with. So they told him, right. Hey bro, he's an English speaker. He been quiet this whole time. Shout out to them. So like now me and them talking just cause we got a translator now. So I'm learning about them, what they got locked up for, and they want to know, you know what I'm saying? So it was just a great powwow just because, hey, I've been with y'all boys for 2 days. We ain't been able to communicate, but hey, look at us now. We can, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah. Cool. So that, and that's pretty much, you know what I'm saying? That's the remaining of the setting for the rest of the story. I'm locked up 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 15 people in one cell, 9 wooden beds.
And did you stay there then for, like, was that your... that you're home for the next 14 days?
Yeah. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You don't leave that motherfucker. But and it's like people think, okay, this setting is pretty much the same for most of the story, but yet that motherfucker is still entertaining. Just because you can think about what, watch all the prison shows and movies and shit. You see what the inmates, how innovative they are with the resources that they have. Sure. Now, mind you, all I got is a bowl and a spoon. They can be having far more resources and can. They get active a lot more than us. So we have to really, really get, you know what I'm saying, just, I'm talking about, man, authentic with it just far as just ways to entertain ourselves. And, you know what I'm saying, and of course, we just talking, you know what I'm saying, a lot of the vast majority of the time, but it's just being able to learn the different backgrounds of all the characters that's featured in the story. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, just, okay, China's not a, you know what I'm saying, it's not a dangerous place. China's one of the safest places you can be. They're very strict and disciplined people. So with that being said, you're not going to find too many insane individuals there like you will here in America. America, you're going to find some folks that throw the fuck off just batshit crazy. Yeah. But over there in China, hell nah, you're not. So it's just like, I know y'all not crazy. Y'all not dangerous, none of that. So, and you'll learn, oh yeah, I got locked up for fighting. Oh yeah, I got locked up for teaching. Yeah, I got locked up for driving without a license. So it's like, okay, I'm just in here with a, you know what I'm saying? That's why y'all so cool, like, because y'all not on that type of time. Y'all just, China just so strict, that's why y'all here, you know what I'm saying? But also just to learn, what was your story prior to all of this? Who are you outside of this? You know what I'm saying? I know this doesn't define you, you know what I'm saying? You define you, so what do you define yourself as? So it's very interesting, and you meet a lot more characters, and it's a lot more, it's a lot more that goes on within the story. It's a lot of plot twists and, roller coasters, you like, whoa, you know what I'm saying? It gets dope for sure. But that was pretty much the first three chapters, which is the first, you know what I'm saying, which is available for free on Amazon. It's a lot more detail. So it's, a, you know what I'm saying, it's even better when you're reading it. But that's just stuff right there.
And it's 14 Days in Beijing by Chancellor Jackson. And people just get that on Amazon?
Oh, yeah. Just Google me.
Cool.
Go to Google.
Cool.
Type in 14 Days in Beijing or type my name and I pop right up.
Cool. I meant to do that before we talked, actually, but I was trying to figure out this equipment.
Oh, man. That's the luxury about books, man. They're around forever.
Yeah.
Ain't no pressure.
Cool. And good on you. What a great thing to do with that experience.
Oh, yeah. I knew I had to do something with it. I ain't just going to put me through all this, and I'm just going to walk away with my tail tucked between. And hell nah. Fuck no. I'm going to make something shake out of this. I knew going to China was going to be a great stepping stone to me finding myself.
Yeah.
Did I think it would be exactly like that? But nah, but hey, it was beneficial for sure. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I would not be who I am in the position that I'm in if it wasn't for that and just me being spontaneous and brave enough to venture off on that journey. And you know what I'm saying? So it was a risk. Goddamn. And I lost a lot, but I also gained a lot. You know what I'm saying? At the same time. So for sure, it was beneficial. All in all, China was amazing. Prior to those last, and like I said, those were my last 14 days. Prior to them last 14 days, China was amazing. All in all, it was a great experience.
Cool. Hey, I'll wrap it up pretty soon. But tell me what you're up to these days. What are you doing with yourself?
Still teach. I coach high school football. Best-selling author, of course. You know what I'm saying? A mentor as well. I'm partnered with a nonprofit called the UMay Foundation, and we pretty much. We cover education, athletics, life skills, you know what I'm saying? Just a barrage of different things. So we pretty much where my book comes into play, we work with troubled teens and troubled youth that fall victim to drugs or just in and out of trouble a lot. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so we use my book as part of the lesson. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Let's read about Lucky's story and what Lucky did and look at Lucky's mindset going through this. All right. So now when you in your situation, how did that affect you? What was your thought process like? You know what I'm saying? Now that all that's over, like, where are you at with it now mentally? You know what I'm saying? Do you self-reflect a lot? How often do you self-reflect? You know, it's just just life skills. You know what I'm saying? So
what's that organization called again?
UMAY. U-M-A-Y. Yeah, U-M-A-Y Foundation. So, yeah, I'm working with that. And I just do a bunch of everything. I do a little modeling here and there. All that, modeling is just a hobby.
Cool.
Yeah, I just be trying stuff. Damn, bro, you should coach. Yeah, I could do that. Damn, bro, you should write a book about that getting locked up. Damn, I could do that. Damn, teach abroad in China. I could do that. I'll just be trying shit. That's why, you know what I'm saying? You got to be spontaneous, but be brave. You know what I'm saying? Be vulnerable. Don't be afraid to goddamn just venture off and just do something. Step outside your comfort zone.
Totally.
You know what I'm saying? Just, you know what I'm saying? You never know. You'll find yourself. You'll learn a lot about yourself doing that.
Yeah.
For sure.
I love your attitude, and you're an inspiring man, Chancellor.
I appreciate it. That's all it is, man. Just hustle and motivate. That's it, man. Hustle and motivate, just like Nipsey.
Cool. And hey, real pleasure to meet you and have a chat with you. Really enjoyed it.
All right, man. I appreciate you, man. It was definitely a great powwow, great discussion. Energy was all time high. Hello, you know what I'm saying? Highly vibrational, you know what I'm saying? Frequencies is high. So yeah, it was enjoyable for sure, for sure. And it's always great to share my story to whoever's willing to listen. So the show for sure.
Cool. All right, well, I'll this will come out next Tuesday, 9 a.m. Australian time. So that's Monday night.
Sometime. Yeah, sometimes. Yeah. For sure.
Cool. But
that's a bit, though.
All right. I'll say goodbye, but again, real great to meet and connect with you.
Hey, likewise. Hey, we tapped in, family. We tapped in. If I'm ever in Australia, best believe, but I'm going to hit your line now. I'm going to hit you up now. So yeah. For sure.
I'll catch you again someday. All right.
All right, man. Balance and blessings. Balance and blessings. Peace.
Peace. You can hear me okay? I might Chancellor? Hello? No, I still can't hear you. I'm going to turn this off. I'm still not hearing you. Oh, now I do.
Hey. Okay. Yeah. We cracking there. We cracking.
Awesome. Hey. Hello. I've got a uni tutorial after doing this interview with you, and so I needed to be closer to the university. And there's this co-working space that I've gone into today, and they've got an actual proper.
Yeah, look like a studio.
Yeah. It's a full podcast booth, but I haven't figured out the equipment, so I'm just on my headphones in here.
No, facts though. At least you got the soundproof and everything. Like, that shit is dope.
It looks legit, right?
Nah, facts. Look like you finna record an album.
Well, should we just jump straight in? I'll introduce you, and then I was just gonna ask you a bit about yourself and go wherever with the conversation. Does that sound cool?
For sure. Yeah, let's do it.
Awesome. Okay.